Heavenly Father, we're grateful again that you're in our presence and we're in your presence, Lord, that it is that which has been ordained, and we are glad that we're able to see this day. Back in your day, you said many men look forward to that day. The prophets did that prophesied until John, and they would have been happy to see that day, and we believe they did in the resurrection. And now, Lord, again, there's a people that's very happy to see this day. And it's going to bring about a resurrection. All that look forward to it, mostly in the graves, will come forth and be a part of it. And we're very, very happy for that. We cannot thank you enough that you made us aware of it and showed us that we're a part of it. And we put all this grace back on you, Lord, because you alone have done it. You alone are worthy. It is nothing of ourselves. We say, as usual, nothing in our hands. We bring simply to the cross. We cling, Rock of Ages. Cleft for us tonight. There's nothing of ourselves but you. And we're so happy for that, Lord. We're tremendously grateful and appreciative. Now help us with the study of your word. Your name might be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, last Sunday, that is, we were going along in our subject matter on message number 6, what we see or something like that. Let me see if I can find where we were. Okay, we're back on number 6A, yeah. And this would be a continuation of 6A. And we're to the place where, in our conclusion, last Sunday message, we were about to begin placing the judge's relationship to the bride and to all others in this particular hour. And we have to do that because Genesis 18, 17 to 25 and 32 are a repeat. They're a type of what is happening in this day. So we'll just go back to Genesis 18 and verse 17, beginning, and the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that which I do?" Now, you'll notice that Amos is very consistent with this. You know that when the Lord's going to do something secret, well, he doesn't mean that it's secret in the sense that, you know, this is a big secret of me and you got to try to pry it out. That word, I suppose, really, it's maybe a kind of a poor translation is what it really is, because it doesn't mean that way. What it means is that it's something that is to be made known but hasn't been revealed and won't be revealed until the hour that is supposed to transpire. And the prophet is there in order to know it. And then he tells us. And this, of course, is where so many people, especially the Pentecostal faith, and let's face it, it's all over the world, they are so proud that they're sure God would show them and he wouldn't need a prophet. And it's the same old, you know, it's like, "Brother Vail, I know you're a nice guy, and I just love you." And all the time, their hands in my right hip pocket taking my money out, or their right arms around me with a dagger to get me in the fifth rib. Oh, come on, look. But listen, that's how they are. Well, thank God we are not of that class. And I don't mean to say that we're standing here like a bunch of Pharisees saying, "Lord, look at that lousy publican and that poor old woman of the streets. I'm glad I'm not like her." Now, listen, I'm talking about not being spiritually blind, and I'm glad I'm not spiritually blind.
Amen.
I'm glad that I can afford a prophet. See, and I'm going to tell you something. Just let's understand this. I'll get to preaching later on. Don't worry, talk about the message. But, you know, every week I learn something. I get phone calls. I get letters. And I'm going to tell you, the gates of hell have really risen up. I'm going to tell you, we are smarter than all the gates of hell combined, for we have the wisdom of Jesus Christ. Oh, they rise up and they try to make this doctrine, the presence, some far out thing, something that's not of God. Let me tell you. Now, let's get this straight. If you believe in a prophet, you've got to believe in God present. Amen. The very men that say they believe in William Branham are liars, and I proclaim it. Amen. And I'll come against the gates of hell. Because that's not just my privilege. It's my reasonable sacrifice. To deprecate the presence of God. To say he's not here is to deny a prophet. Because there is no prophet. outside of God. Shall I show Abraham the thing I'm going to do? Certainly. Certainly, that's God. Oh, Lord, you're so obscure hiding up there in the clouds. Yeah. But suddenly, they don't need a prophet. No wonder Jesus said the damnation in hell waited the scribes and the Pharisees who, under their very noses, saw the kingdom of God and denied it. Yeah, they're doing the same today. Well, anyway, we're having a good time. Now, see, my good buddy Greg walked in at the wrong time. He got me slugging away at these guys. He wonders why I'm slugging anybody here. Slugging nobody here. They're way out there in the boondocks, a million miles from God. And they're trying to act as though they believe a prophet. And there can be no prophet of the stature of William Branham or a Paul or an Elijah or a Moses and not God right there. Let's read it. You that listen to this tape, you might have thought today I was trying to say that about myself. Being I was packing this message, I have no more to do with it than nothing, no more than just a voice. And my voice, even against my better judgment, I wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father that I declare to do and determine to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down there. I was only one standing there when he appeared. And they laugh at the presence, and they think it's a false doctrine. They sneer, and they call it ridiculous. And they say they believe in William Branham. They're liars. Come on, let's face it. The gloves are off. See, you understand more and more my stand in this message. The gloves are off. Don't come around me with the hypocritical dulcet tones of the serpent. Who with one hand offer a sacrifice to God and the other hand club a man down in death. Makes you think, doesn't it? Get ready for it. Squeeze is coming on. Yeah. Shall I hide from my prophet Abraham, mine elect? The thing which I do? Seeing Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, he'll command his children, his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that thing which he has spoken of him. Well, he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I'm not wasting my time with some kind of an ignoramus, a fool. I know Abraham. Foreknowledge and predestination. He knows you're not going to fail. You may bite the bullet. But you may. Oh, how I love Jesus. Sing it. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me and I'll never forsake him. I'll never forsake him. I'll never forsake him. Because he first loved me. Sure, he foreknew him. He knew we were going to sing the song. He knew we were going to get blessed. He knew if my creaky joints were in the creek, I'd do a Nelson guy, jump over the pulpit. Only what for? Better I should praise him. And my heart go in love to him. Rejoice in him who was wonderful. Why, he knew. How did he know? Because the foreknower is a predestinator. Oh, bless God forevermore. Now, and the Lord said, he knew Abraham was going to be what God had spoken of him to be. See? You get the picture. Foreknowledge, predestination, logos, thought, word, thought expressed, a man being the thoughts of God, being the attributes of God, Abraham. And we're the same as Abraham, there is no difference. I want to tell you something flat. My big toe has the same nourishment the hairs in my head have. The same as my heart, the same as my eyeball. Same nourishment. See, the body's all one. He knows every single one of us. The hairs of our head are numbered. He knows every one of us. Now, he said, because the cry of Sodom is great, because their sin is very grievous, I'll go down now and see whatever they have done, whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I'll know. Now, here's one fellow here, walking in the foreknowledge and predestinating power of God, and God said, hey, everything's just right. He's going to go click, click, click down the line. But I better see these bunch of renegades get everything all mixed up down here. These Sodomites. These Canaanites. These Canaanites. Now, so I'm going to go down and look it over. He doesn't have to look us over. We've done been looked over. You're not looking at us, so you're going to choose the apples out and say, hey, let's see if there's some good ones here, some bad ones here. He says, hey, them's all good apples. I know Abraham and his seed. He said, by my foreknowledge and my predestinating power, he said, there it is. So I'll lose them. He said, this other bunch I'll go down and take a look at. You know, the men turned their faces thence and went to Sodom, and Abraham stood before the Lord, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city, wilt thou also destroy not and spare not the place for 50 righteous that are within? that be far from thee after this manner to slay the righteous with the wicked. If the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Verse 32. And he said, let not my Lord be angry, I'll you speak yet but this one. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I'll not destroy it for 10's sake. Now, we got to be very careful here to see the spiritual revelation of astronomical proportions that is here now in this hour that we view in this reading. Something going on now. The 18th chapter, 13 and 14th verses, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I have a surety bear a child when I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, notice, at the appointed time, I will return. Genesis 21, 1-4 describes it. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. All right, notice. The speaking and the performance, especially the performance of the speaking, was done by visitation to God, for Sarah conceived. And bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son which was born unto him whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God commanded him. Now, first of all, we can set up a type here that is exactly Acts 3:19b-21. So let's go back. We'll read it because although you know it the same as I do, we can't let our memories fool us. And when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, presence number one, even he shall send Jesus Christ, which was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive or retain, until the restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Well, that's far enough. Now, we can make our type lining up with Acts 3:19b-21, the appearing of Elohim, and then the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what you see. Appearing of the Lord and the literal coming or return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That perfectly types, which is God in the form of the Spirit, then God in the form of human flesh on earth. That would be Genesis 18 and then chapter 21, where it tells you the promise of the hour is the Son in flesh. Then the Son comes in flesh in Genesis 21. Now, Abraham and Sarah here in chapter 21 are changed, which prefigures the resurrection. But I see another type here that is fully justified because Brother Branham said the church, the shape it is in, the mess it is in, could not possibly bring him, Jesus the Christ, forth or back in the flesh. Only the bride can do that. She is responsible, therefore, indirectly, but by provision of God, to bring this resurrection and the return of Christ. Now, she won't do it of her own self. So watch. On June 11, 1933, Elohim appears. The pillar of fire in the form of a rainbow came down and was seen by many, many people, designating that a prophet is in the land. God and prophet and God, they are inseparable. Then in 1946, the angel sends out the prophet to fulfill Acts 3:19, which is the great healing revival. Then follows the word restored, as in verse 21. And this takes us right to Revelation 10:1, which is the mighty messenger come down with the rainbow. He is appearing, which he did appear, and is the same one on June 11th, 1933. But now, in Revelation 10:1, he appears with seven mighty angels to be revealed to us, signifying that perfection has come. That which is perfect has come, which is God, which is revealed word. So, Revelation 10:1, the mighty messenger coming down. Revelation 5:1, the one with the book in his hand. Revelation 1:12, the one that was standing there as a judge. And Revelation 22:10-20. Now, let's take a look at Revelation 10:22, 10-20. So Revelation 10:1 is Revelation 5:1, is Revelation 1:12, is Revelation 22:10-20. We don't have to read it all. He said, seal not the sayings of the prophet's book, for the time is at hand. Now watch. The unsealed book. Now watch carefully. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Now, what is unsealed and therefore also consummated? Because you cannot have an unsealing without going into a consummation. Now, the unsealing is not leading us per se to that which is future and eternal, though it is. It is basically a consummation, which consummation has to come because everything's got to die before life comes forth. So this has got to die, that's all down here. That's consummation. So the seals have a consummation. Now watch. He that is unjust still. Filthy, filthy still. Righteous, righteous still. Now, on the one hand, it is consummation. In a certain direction, ends up in a lake of fire. The other is a consummation of a life that cannot be repeated, but spins off into eternity. One is destruction, one is life. Behold, I now notice. The unsealing, which is a presence. See? Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end, the first and the last. Blessed are they do his, not do his fast, they that wash their robes. They may have the tree, right to the tree of life. Enter the gates of the city. Now you notice, you've got the same thing here, but in reversed order. Up there is he that is unjust, is unjust till he is filthy, filthy, sins, righteous, righteous till. Over here it's the righteous, then the filthy. Without her dogs and so on. I, Jesus, have sent my messenger to test unto you these things in the churches. I'm the root and offspring of David. Now he's telling them that I'm the one that was there all through the church ages in the form of the Spirit. And at the end time, I am appearing in the form of the Spirit, then appearing in the form of flesh again. Spirit and the bride say, come. Him that heareth say, come. Here's the thirst, come. Who shall let him take the water of life freely? Now that's at this time. There is still a message going out. There is still the opportunity for people to come in. There is still the Holy Spirit anointed word. But with it, the warning. This time, you won't get away with changing it. Now they got away. It's the first church age, second church age, third church age, fourth church age, fifth church age, sixth church age, seventh church age, no days. Because that's Hebrews 6. When the prophet goes forth with the word of God to sow it for the last time. And that's the message of the kingdom that goes around the world because the kingdom is here. It's finished. See? All right. Now, the seventh seal on page 567. It may be the hour now that this great person that we're expecting to rise on the scene, may rise on the scene. Maybe this ministry that I have tried to take to the people, that to the Word has laid a foundation. And if it has, I'll be leaving you for good. There won't be two of us here at the same time. If it is, he'll increase and I'll decrease. Alright? You'll notice in there, we have a second visitation, so to speak. Just like God said, all right, I'm here visiting you. I'm here plainly visible. I'm amongst you. And Sarah's going to have a child. Now, I'll tell you what, she's not ready for it yet. But there's going to be a time when I'm going to visit again. That child's going to come forth. In other words, that's what's going to bring it forth. You follow what I'm saying? Okay. All right. His ministry that Brother Branham had by the Holy Spirit, Elohim coming down, was restoration. We know that the bride fell by reason of false doctrine, a false revelation of the true word. For 2 Corinthians 11 said, she will have another Jesus, another spirit, another word. And if you get that far in debt, you're washed out. You might as well declare bankruptcy because you had it. Today that is all over because she is a virgin restored by the revealed word. Because if it was a wrong Jesus, a wrong gospel, a wrong spirit that got her there, and today she has a right spirit, a right Jesus, a right word, then she's a virgin again. See? All right. Today it is all over. She is a virgin. She of this last and final age, and she who is, that's the same bride, who is about 2,000 years old, because that's, we're in the 2,000 year, is returned to the same identity of her in the first age at the time of Paul, when Paul said, I have espoused you as a virgin to Christ. In other words, she was betrothed to Christ in a virgin condition. Which was right Jesus, right Spirit, right Word. But notice, Sarah was also young, and she and Abraham were now in the mechanics of reproduction. You know that's as far as her faith took her to. When God said this time she's going to have a son, she said, shall me and my Lord have sexual pleasure again? She was well aware that mechanics, the sexual intercourse does not always beget. It is the mechanics But if life is not there or life is hindered, there is no life forthcoming. All the mechanics you want won't work. She still did not get pregnant in the condition she was in, and he was in, of being turned back to their youthful days. It took a second visitation to her personally and Abraham, so that the true seed of Abraham could now develop and come forth in flesh from her virgin and now awakened womb. See, she had a virgin womb. There was no life in it. It had to be awakened. The womb of the bride is the mind. Elohim is here and has quickened the word to her so that the dead will soon come forth on this earth. The bride, the body of Christ, which is God in human flesh of the bride, is now ready to come forth on this earth. Her spiritual resurrection has already taken place. It is time for the physical. See, now we do not get changed back to a youthful body except through that visitation of God Himself quickening the Word in us to bring that body forth. Because the cells must form around a life, and it's a new life that it forms around. It's the life of the Word. You see? All right, this is what is going on now. And that is what's going to bring forth Christ. In other words, make each one of us immortal just like Christ, and we shall be exactly like Him. Except for our original placement. His original placement was that He was the complete Logos, and He came forth in a way through the womb of Mary that brought Him here, and yet He Himself had to be changed. Now, when we go through these processes, we're going to be identical to Him, but our position will be different. The Bible says we'll be just like Him. All right, this is going on now. We are virgins. Oh, there are lots of virgins. They make you think here, but don't... I'm not going to say too much. We are virgins. Oh, there are lots of virgins, but only a few have that oil, that life, that takes them and produces the wedding supper. See? Oh, there's lots of virgins. Brother Bannon said, I hear there's 10,000. Believe this message. You've got to shake them off. I understand about 250,000 now. I don't know. Now, this is what I see. And when I see that, I see Matthew 25:1-13. Now, what I'm telling you is that I see that God Himself must deal with this group of people who are all virgins of the Word. But this is why Brother Branham preached the token. There were too many who sat there without the Holy Spirit as they're sitting all through messages without the Holy Spirit. And no effort to seek Him. Which can only come by repentance, which is a complete change of mind. Water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. And God does the rest. Now, Matthew 25:1-13, then shall the kingdom of heaven likened to 10 virgins that took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now, listen, this is before Sodom and Gomorrah was finished, kaput, burnt. You follow what I'm saying? It's a repeat, as it was in the days of Abraham, Sodom and Gomorrah, before it was burnt. God dealing with the election. Now, down here in Sodom is righteous Lot. You say, I don't think he's very righteous. That's none of your business. Brother Branham said, maybe Lot was only a copper, a penny, and Abraham was a silver dollar. Well, he said, there's lots of room for a penny as well as a silver dollar. Okay? Here we are. This certain period, like virgins took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. Abraham stood there and says, there's God, going to go meet him. All right? Five wise, five foolish. Five had oil in their lamps and five didn't. Right back in Abraham's day, there was Abraham number one. Sarah was part of him, so she doesn't count. Down there was Lot, and he had a wife and two daughters, and they didn't count. Because you're dealing with headships, you're dealing with types. All right? Who had the oil? Sure, you sure better believe that, that Lot didn't. He couldn't even recognize angels. He couldn't recognize messengers. Now, if you can't recognize the messenger, how can you recognize God? That's why I said a while ago, these people who try to tell you and deny the presence and say they believe in William Branham, they got to be liars. Now, that don't mean they're liars because they want to be liars. Or they're deliberately lying. But something is wrong somewhere. They've been deceived. Because you can't have a prophet without God. Or you're idiots. Idiots. Because it takes God. Bamboozled by some pope or something. Listen, let's get the glory back on God. No, let's face the, if we got to face the judgment, let's face it as men and women. That's got some kind of spiritual guts. Not a honky-tonk backbone. See, I'm serious, dead serious. Because she's closing in. Let her close. I rebuked one guy last night, and I'll rebuke two more tonight if they phone me. I don't suppose they will. You don't make William Branham and God fools. At midnight, cry was made, "Behold the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" All the virgins rose, trimmed their lamps. And they hear they're out. they gone to meet him. They gone to look at him. The foolish said, "Give us of your oil. Our lamps are gone out." All right? See, the word didn't contain oil. No light. You can sit under this message like Brother Brandon preached the token. You say, "Why are you hitting the token?" Because I just read part of it before supper. I understand exactly why I read it. My hand fell on it. You can say, "Oh, William Branham, prophet. Oh, William Branham this. Oh, word of God this. Oh, word of God that." And die. See? The life has got to be in this word too. Lot knew the same God Abraham knew. All these things. But he wasn't in the elect. Well, you got foolish virgin here. And you got the rest outside. The other ones in between, as I call them. Now, they didn't have the light in the word. That's why denominations are full of foolish virgins. Good Lutherans. Saved Lutherans. Saved Methodists. Saved Pentecostals. But they're not born again. See? Won't work. No life. The life has gone out of the word. Their word. The life is in this word.
Amen.
And you don't just believe and say, "I believe in a prophet." Oh, believe in a prophet and then turn down Almighty God. Somebody sick, 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 sick. The dog has returned to the vomit. Encrusted with the pride of iniquity. Now, we got a prophet, so who needs God? The rest say, "We got God. Who needs a prophet?" These guys say, "We got a prophet. Who needs God?" I got news for you. If you haven't got the prophet, you haven't got God. Now, if you got the prophet, you have got God. If you got God, you have got the prophet. You can't separate them. Somebody's sick. Now, you can see this word coming together more and more since we started here in August. 3 months. And understand why the things are being said. I don't know at times myself why I say certain things. All I know, I say them because they're real, they're true. It's God's holy word. Now they come up glaring like 17-foot figures on billboards 30 feet high with floodlights on them. See? Now, so they have to go someplace, they have to go somewhere. Yes, they've got to run, I told you. They can't stand still for the first resurrection. And here's why. They go to try to get something because there's no life in the Word. Well, he says, Brother Brown's message. Not necessarily any life in it. Not necessarily. That's the mechanics that came forth first. The dynamics got to hit it before it's living Word. See? Let there be light was a word, but when light came, there was no longer a word as reality. So with this. Not just a word. If it begins to live. Yeah. Oh, they'll take every excuse they have to get away from it. Like one fellow will say, well, do you have to go to the Greek? Couldn't you preach it from what Brother Branham said? I said, it's exactly why I went to the Greek. Because I saw what he was saying. Same as Brother Branham did. Do you realize that they understood what we're teaching here? That there would not have been a deity cult. There would not have been a person like Bobby Lambert who had to give his... Somebody killed him, I don't know who. There was no loss to anybody. He's a bride, let's be honest. He was seducing people. Saying nobody had the Holy Ghost. He wouldn't have had this thunder stuff. That there's no capstone. The capstone is here. They went out to see him. They never saw him. Yeah? There's nothing in the Word. The Word was gone. Oh! Luther and scream, he's going to come, he's going to come, he's going to appear, he's going to come. And he appears, they say, what are you talking about out there? What are you talking about out there? And the Methodists and the Pentecostals. They got nowhere. They couldn't see him. All the time trying to get oil. Made no use. You can't get that oil with that word back there. The life has gone out of it. I tell you what you do. You try to graft a living limb on a dead tree. Don't work. You can't put new wine on old bottles. It smashes them. Can't put a new patch on old garment. It rips to pieces. They want their word anointed to bring forth the resurrection. It won't work. There's no life in it. There's only one word, the hour of the resurrection. And that's the word that precedes the resurrection. Pentecost doesn't have it. Methodists, Lutherans, Catholics, none of them have it. The hour of the resurrection is when God himself raises the dead. So the word of the hour has got to be God himself, like it's been in every age. God in every single age. Now here he is. Now, they that were ready went into the marriage. Who was ready? Those in whom was the living word. See, the rest don't get changed. You can't go to the wedding supper without a garment, without being immortalized. You can't go to that wedding supper in no way, shape, and form. You got to be changed. You got to be changed right here on earth. And when the bride is changed and standing here, they're going to be saying, Lord, let us in. We want to come in and get saved. We want to get full of the Holy Ghost. We want to make everything right. He said, it's done too late. You missed it. Because you got the Holy Ghost, you're going to be at the wedding supper. Nobody ever kid you. You're sealed in, and God does the rest. Now he said, watch therefore. You need to know the day and the hour when the Son of Man cometh. You got no idea, he said. When this is going to take place, it's all over. And what's he talking about? He's talking about the beholding and the going to meet with him. Then it's after you go to the wedding supper. Everybody's got it figured out. You get changed here, and then you go to the wedding supper, and there you meet him. I got news for you. It doesn't sing that. It says, first you come out of Babylon. Then you consort with him. You behold him. You sup with him. You watch him. You leave your creeds and denominations alone. In that hour he changes you. Then in that hour of the resurrection. Nobody can get saved. You're speaking to the entirely lost. Nobody can come in. It's all over. And the bride just got up and meet him in the air. See, Bible does not say the way people preach it. Now, here there's only five quickened with the quickened word. The garments to go in. And notice, in Matthew 25 and 12, there's a judge. He said, truly, I know you not. Which is, in the vernacular, I used to know you as my wife. I don't know you as my wife anymore. Espoused virgins. But no life in the word. Gone on. Oh, a lot of people say they believe this message. Anybody can say it believes the message. Nothing's that fap. Anybody can do that. I can even say I'm the Prince of Wales. Now, if you want to spell W-H-A-L-E-S, that still doesn't do any good because I'm too thin for that. I could say I'm the Prince of Kooks or something. That's a little bit closer. All right. Now, with this, we go to Zechariah 4. 1-14. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me, as a man waking out of sleep. He said, what do you see? And I said, I've looked and behold a candlestick, a lampstand of all gold, a bowl on top of it. Seven lamps are on. Seven pipes of seven lamps. Two olive trees by it. And so on. He said to me in the fifth verse, knowest thou these, what these be? I said, no, my Lord. This is the Lord, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, what you see here is whatever this is the definitive work and sovereign domain of God, the Holy Spirit, that does this if anything's going to be done. Amen. Now watch. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. Now that's about the same language of John the Baptist. Now he shall bring forth the headstone thereof was shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it. Now when God does it, it's grace. Amen. Brother, the Lord came and he's saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of his house, and his hands will finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the plumb of the hands of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Now that's in Revelation chapter 5. So, Zechariah chapter 4 goes all the way back to the end time, where Christ is revealed as judge. Then answered I and said, what are these two olive trees? One on the right side and one on the left side. He answered, these olive trees, the golden pipes and so on. He said, do you know what they are? And he said, no. He said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Now watch. 9 and 10. The hands of Zerubbabel laid the foundation. His hands shall finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me, who had despised the day of small things. For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hands of Zerubbabel with those seven. All right? The man with the plummet is the carpenter who is plumbing up the building. Now the building hasn't been plumbed for a long time. Because the building has to go to the block by the word of Almighty God. Now when you take a plummet, you're going to measure this, you got to go to the altitude. In other words, you got to go up. Now you drop that plummet. That plumb line, the gravity will pull it right down, and if it doesn't hit a building or something, it's going to be in the perpendicular. So, all right. The church has got to get squared up at the end time, which is restoration. Now, compare this with Revelation 10 and 1. I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven. Rainbows upon his head and his face that were pillar, brought back with shoutings of grace, grace. Then it mentions the hand rubble of laid the foundation. His hands will finish it. All right. In other words, Alpha and Omega. Now, this one here faces toward the sun, feet as pillars of fire, and the feet are on land and sea. In other words, the original foundation is back on earth. See? Now, if you're going to make a promise to see if that pyramid's right, you got to go from the headstone to the capstone. I mean, the capstone, not the headstone, the capstone. The headstone is the physical Jesus. You go from the capstone and drop your line right to the foundation. Now, you notice that the feet is the foundation and the head is the last story, or the apex, the climax, the peak of the pyramid that's formed around this one who is that by whom all things are measured. Because God will judge this world in righteousness by one Christ Jesus. So therefore, He Himself becomes the plummet or the measure of the church. Now I hope that gives you some inspiration in thinking where you stand tonight. The original foundation is back on earth. And with it, the headship, true grace. He couldn't come any other way. How could He come down here in the church? The mess it was in. Every last one having to die for sin. And the last one's in a worse mess than ever. And they're supposed to be such the righteousness of God, He can stand amongst them and they'll never die. Because the body is dead because of sin. And we're the raunchiest ones of the whole bunch. We've moved the furthest from the perpendicular. So what does He do? He comes down and He is the perpendicular. Now you got back original foundation. You got the man, the full stature. You got him standing right there. Holy Ghost Word. Now, original foundation is back on earth, and with it the headship, the complete holy and spirited word, and the head here surrounded by the living bride to bring forth the others. The whole body of the word is back. The feet have returned to the earth. See? And with it, the head. The whole thing. That which is perfect is coming. Eh? So, now the body must follow the head. Out of the grave. Because He came out of the grave. And He is the head. So now the body's got to follow the head. Out of the grave. And He is risen and ascended. And so must we be. That's what you find in 1 Corinthians 15, on the resurrection and the rapture. So there He is, a judge of the whole inhabited earth in a final mediation of the seventh church age, because that's exactly what He was in Abraham's day. A Sodom and Gomorrah condition, and a bride standing there. Not in that filth, but surrounded by the filth, and not a part of the filth. God coming to her, appearing, and then saying, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to destroy the world, but I'm not going to destroy you. And you're going to stand here in the process of what is going on. My presence. Then I'm going to make a return to you. Okay? All right. So He is here, the judge of the whole inhabited earth. The bride will not be destroyed. That's according to Malachi 4, 5, and 6. According to Malachi 4, 1 through 3. The promise of destruction is there. See? The promise of immortality is there. The promise of Elijah the prophet to turn the hearts back. The Son of Man is judged. Because the Son of Man is here. That's what the Bible says. Because He is the Son of Man, judgment is committed unto Him. Then if the Son of Man is here again, there's judgment. Now you see, you could have crucified Him once, but you can't do it anymore. You're crucified to yourself. What's the crucifixion the world gets? I'll tell you what. 3.5 years tribulation, of which Brother Branham said, I would sooner have the oath of Columbus performed on me than 10 minutes of the great tribulation. Yeah, that's what he said. All right? The Son of Man is judge, and he has promised, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Now he said, I'm not going to let Abraham ignorant of what I'm about to do. And Abraham was a prophet. Now, if the Lord is about to descend, that is a secret thing. Then there has got to be a prophet to tune us into it. So here's your big secret. Concerning them which are asleep, you would not sorrow those who have no hope. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth with him. Now God is going to bring forth Jesus, bring him right off the throne, bring him right here at the wedding supper. We're going to be right there with him. He's going to bring the dead forth. He's going to bring us up for it. He's going to manifest it. For thus is the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, that we which are alive and in the presence of the Lord. Now what presence? Tells you, shall not take precedence or be preeminent over those that are asleep. Now listen. They look at us and they say, oh, you people that believe in the present. You people that talk through you. Who do you think you are? I said, nobody. Because here's the word right here that says, his presence doesn't mean we're anybody. It means that he's everybody.
Praise God. Amen.
And yet they're the ones that worry about his preeminence. Gates of hell. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to pour the oil of the Holy Ghost on the gates of hell and watch it burn. I'm not talking about men now. I'm talking about doctrine. The men get burned. That's their tough luck. Because I've got a job to the saints of God. God didn't raise me up to be some booby hatch. Eh? Now, we which are alive and remain at that prison, which is identical to 1 Corinthians 15. First fruits, them that are there at the presence of Christ. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Of course, they believe he just comes down so far. Well, wonderful. Let me just prove to you, if you believe that way, you're going to hell. And you deserve to go to hell. And there's no booby hatch to get you out of there. Come listen. Now he that ascended, what is it? But he also descended. It's the same word. Are you going to say Jesus didn't, that body, that soul didn't go down to the lower parts of the earth? You just say that the soul didn't go down to the lower parts of the earth because your understanding of descent is to just sort of tiddlywink up here in the space. Then how'd the dead come out? How'd those numbers shield get out? Go ahead and spit in God's face. Of course, I'm not talking to you people here, but these tapes get up. Let them get out. I challenge you, the prophet said the world's gone crazy except for us.
Amen.
When people are so stupid that I can stand on this piano and you say, Brother David's down on the floor. I say, kid, when did your eyes test the last or your brain? Because I wouldn't be descended, I'd be up. Descend. Ascend. For the Lord himself, not somebody else. The Lord. From heaven with a shout. Voice of archangel, trumpet God, and dead in Christ will rise first. order the resurrection. I mean the rapture. We which are alive and mean be caught together in the clouds. Now that shows you where your preeminence is, and my preeminence, we ain't got none. We're the last ones to go up. Last one chains, the last one's up. And we missed all the nice things in between where we could have been in that beautiful land of that sweet spirit. So we ain't nobody. But we got somebody.
Amen. Praise
God. Yes, sir. Wherefore comfort one of these words. Now, this is in contradistinction. Now, this is a just judgment of God because he says, this is my pronouncement at this time. Now watch, the same space. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9:10. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Now, he tells you right there what we already know. When the saints are God, wrath comes, but we're not appointed to wrath. We're predestinated to be in that happy throng that is changed. Even now, he is Matthew 3:11-12. John looking down the ages. I indeed baptize you with water and repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now that's the one that died and ascended. Comes back as the Holy Ghost. Now watch. Whose fan is he hand? Thoroughly purge his floor. Gather his wheat in the garner. Burn up the chaff with fire unquenchable. That's Malachi chapter 4. That's your book of Revelation. That's your parable. That's Matthew 25:1-13. That's the judge. Why is he doing this? Because he is the Son of Man and he has been revealed. Who is this Son of Man? Let's go to Luke 19. Let's read some scripture on the Son of Man. 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now he's the judge. Because he came to seek and save that which was lost. The sheep he will put in his sheepfold. The goats he will turn out. He's the Son of Man. Gives him every right. Look around some more. Matthew 9:6. That you may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Rise, take up that bed and walk in that house. Brother Branham turned and he said to the man, he said, you're sick, you're so-and-so-and-so-and-so. But he said, in Topeka, Kansas, in 64, he said, you've been backslidden. He said, your sins are forgiven. And the people rose up, the Pentecostals, and those I know that said they believed this message because a bunch were there. What is he doing forgiving men's sins? And Brother Branham said, I caught that, he said. You thought, I said, I forgive your sins, he said. You wonder why I can tell that man his sins are forgiven? The same voice, the same one that told me he was healed, said, your sins are forgiven. His sins are in tell him. Because he is the Son of Man doing the same thing again. Amen. Matthew 12:8. For the Son of Man is Lord, even the Sabbath day, the master of the rest that lies in front of us. And if the master of the millennium is here, then the millennium is being ushered in. Hallelujah. Certainly it is. Yes, sir. He's the Lord of the rest. R-E-S-T. He's just exactly that because it says over here in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, the 6th-7th verse, and you that are troubled, rest with us. Rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers. The Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord of rest, the Lord of relaxation, the Lord of the millennium, has come on down to usher it in as what? The Son of Man that is revealed. Let's go to Matthew 20:28. Even as the Son of Man came not minister to you, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. The same life. He's come to minister. What did Brother Branham say about a bride? She ministers back to the husband what he ministers to her. So here he's come to minister to us. He's the Son of Man. Also we go to John 6. John 6:48-55. I'm the bread of life. Your father's ate man of the world and dead. This is the bread that's coming down from heaven that a man meet there and not die. That didn't happen. They're dying. They ate that bread back there. It didn't do. They're decayed. Moses ate the same man and he died. He didn't make it. And William Branham makes the same manner of reading, and he died because he's a prophet. He had to go to the fathers where the prophets are. But Jesus said, somebody's going to eat and not die. I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I'll give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore show among themselves, saying, how can this man give his flesh to eat? Verily, son, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, drink his blood, no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh, drinks my blood, eternal life, and I'll raise him up the last day. Now that's the promise of those who went underground. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He eats my flesh and drinks my blood, dwells in me, and I in him. And turn down the words at the hour and say that you're full of the Holy Ghost and dwelling in him. Do you see how you and the Father are one? I preached on the reflection. Here it is. He eats my flesh and drinks my blood, dwells in me. He that hath the Holy Spirit in this end time and has this word in him, he's joined up to the Father, the Son. He's one with the whole bunch. Absolutely one with God. As the living Father sent me and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, he shall live by me. There again. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate manna are dead. He that eats his bread shall live forever. Now he's putting the thing back in our day. Brother Branham said Jesus didn't do things that he had to finish in this hour. This is one of them. Giving the word of the hour, which is we shall not die but live. See, the Son of Man turns judge. And as a quick note, remember, the judge sets the time or the calendar for his visit and his decision. The judge has his own calendar. He knows who's going to be brought in, who's not. He sets the schedule up. He sets everything up. See? Well, you can see that over here in Luke, the 17th chapter, which you read so many times. Now, look at it. Verse 20, the Pharisee demanded when the kingdom of God should come. Why, he said, it comes, you won't even see it. Why, he said, you're not on my timetable. But he said, you'll see it later. What is he talking about? When he is in the midst of them, and those days repeating. The day of Abraham, the double visitation. The promise and the quickening of the word. God's got to quicken his own word. God gives his word, then he makes it come to pass. He breathes on it. Let there be light. That was just a word, but light came. See, reality. Now, we'd have to read that. You can go by yourself. All right. Listen. So he is prophet, turning judge more and more. For the judge is the consequences or natural outcome of the word. The natural, normal, inevitable person. No judge, no enforcement. Oh, you say God just enforces his word. No, he won't just enforce his word. You got your type set. He came down and told it, then began enforcing it. And shall not the judge of all the world do right? And that was the prophet. The prophet looked on the great prophet as a judge. Now, the prophet couldn't make decisions. The decisions were already set by God. See? Word is prophet, and prophet is word. And that sets decisions. Out of the prophet comes the judge. Why? Word. See? And the judge is the consequence or natural outcome of the word. The natural, normal, inevitable person. No word, no judge. No judge, no enforcement. He has already begun to enforce his word. Let's see about that. Now, what I'm trying to show you is this. The elements of the judge are here now without it going to the perfection of judge. Like a boy. He's going to be a man. He's going to be a husband. He's going to be a father. Already the seeds are there. See? Now, he's got to grow up. Now, here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all be made alive. Every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits after the day of Christ is present, then cometh the end. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority, for he must reign till all enemies put under his feet, and the last enemy destroyed is death. Now he's already started. The process of enforcement. You say, how can that be? Because God's word is its own enforcer. Let there be light, light. Let there be death, death. Let there be life, life. Let the tide rise, the tide rises. Let the lamps come down, the lamps come down. Let the lamps go up, the lamps go up. The prophet's already judged. That's why people think we believe in a second chance at the white throne. They're crazy. There's no second chance. The records are read exactly as they are.
Amen.
God knew what those records would be. Said about Abraham. Well, he said, I'm down here to Abraham. I know how Abraham's going to go. He said, I'm the foreknower. I'm the predestinator. I've given Abraham a word. He's going to live. The word is, Sarah's going to bring forth a son by Abraham. And that types this hour. The bride is literally going to bring Jesus Christ down. Through the process of God in her.
Amen.
God returned to Sarah. They could go through the act. It didn't matter. It didn't do any good. Old Abimelech said, she's a beautiful girl. I have her voice. He wanted to raise children up by her. So God just stopped him from getting in the act. And then he struck all the women's wombs dead. Now he said, so much for you, big boy. No life there. But pretty soon the return visitation, what was it? It was life. It was life coming into God's word that was said. And that life was in her. And when the life was in her and him quickened, it dropped the son. And when the word of God is quickened in the bride, the dead are going to come out of the ground. We're going to be changed and bring forth Jesus Christ. Meet him in the air. You're not going to stop God doing what he's supposed to do. And they don't believe in the presence. I'd like to ask them how they're going to make to get their change. Who's going to bring the dead out of the ground? Or they say it's just a normal consequence. Well, then how come the Bible distinctly says, except for Elijah coming, I just get rid of a whole bunch of you. Oh, well, that's just a little figure of speech. Is it now? Well, then born again is a figure of speech. And hell's a figure of speech. And heaven's a figure of speech. And God is a figure of speech. That much for the gates of hell. Yeah. Good thought for Thanksgiving down here. Once there is word by the prophet, there has to be the judge. And to the bride, it is not death or even tribulation or purging, but it's Revelation 11, 17 to 19. Now let's look at her. 11. Saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, which was, and which art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and his reign. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead they should be judged, that thou should give rewards unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints and them that fear thy name small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. So there's wrath going on down here, and there's rewards and rejoicing going on here by the same judge. One is condemnation, one is rewards and merit. And the merit to the bride is this, by grace. If she learns to get herself out of the way and let him have a little bit in her life, there's nothing he won't do for her. Because the headstone comes grace, grace. And when he does, he stands there part of the foundation, making the whole church one. One unit. Oh, praise God. Just like the anointing oil that poured over Aaron's head, went over his head and made the whole hair of his head, just one hair, and his beard, one hair. Just plastered down. Float down over the garment. Yes, sir. John 5 and 24. Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Why? Because all judgment is given unto him. Why? Because he is the Son of Man. Now listen. Says back in that day, you're going to say anything you want against the Son of Man? Because he hadn't yet died upon Calvary, but the end time, when the Son of Man appears in the form of the Holy Ghost, one word, you're finished. Now listen again. Surely, truly, I say, he hears my word and believes on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. Shall not go into judgment. No way. Because life from hearing is indestructible. Life that doesn't hear is destructible. Can be destroyed. Alright. It is now the hour of 1 Corinthians 1, 7, 8. So you come behind in no gift waiting for the presence of the Lord. The apocalypse is rather, Lord. Who shall confirm unto you the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely guiltless, pronounced so. Now listen. That is absolutely the day of the Lord. The time that he's judged. Now listen, you're going to have to be that way before judgment strikes. Because the bride doesn't have judgment. It is the hour of Acts 23. Rather, it's the hour of October 23rd, 1964. 17 years after we're 17 years later. Brother Branham stood there in Colorado after that mighty miracle. And he'd kept his word. And he said to those three dear, I've kept my word. And God said, if you kept your word, how much more have I kept mine? And I was talking to Becky last night and I said, Becky, he didn't put it on tape and he didn't tell you, but he told me. He said, even from that moment, he said, I have no sense of guilt. And I said, Becky, I saw in your mother's face the same thing I saw in your dad. Did she come to a place of peace? That she was there where there was no guilt and no fear? And she said, yes, Lee, she told me. Shortly before she died, I proved that was it because this was just before she died. She'd come to grips with herself in peace with Almighty God. Back to where she was years back, the wife of the prophet, getting ready to go off the scene. I'm going to tell you, brother, there's great things ahead. There's great things ahead. Oh, yeah, just don't give up the ship. I know right now you're in a place because of the grace and presence of God. You're ugly than you ever were. You're rotten than you ever were in your own thinking. You've made no strides. You've made none. But let me tell you, grace, grace, grace. By grace are you saved through faith in that, not of yourself. It is a gift to God. 17 years later, and God seems to do things in 17 around Brother Branham, I can say the same thing. But one day as a hand came down and turned me around, and I realized in spite of myself, but because of him, I'm guiltless before God.
Amen.
It's supposed to be that way, my brother, my sister, under the seventh seal. We no longer look back. We don't look forward, but we see Jesus, the prophet judge, whose counterpart in the flesh is mediator and intercessor. That's Jesus on the Lamb on the throne, who is at this time King designate. Because in the form of the Son of Man, he said, the kingdom is already here. He's in the midst of you. And he is the designate, the one in the body of that Son of Man, the Holy Spirit right here. And he said, the kingdom is here in your midst. In him is the resurrection. In him is my immortality and yours. In him is the rapture, the wedding supper. In him is a mighty takeover of this world as we crush the enemy under our feet. Now let me tell you something, brother, sister. In the original Hebrew, it does not say seed as of singular in the woman. It's seed plural. It is only seed singular to Abraham. So one day that great royal seed and all the seeds are going to come down and eyeball the Antichrist, the devil, And I can't wait for the day when I say, Satan, I'm going to just ask God, and I'm 60 trillion more years for one thing you did back here, and 80 trillion more years for something down there, unless he changes me. Because I've got a controversy with the gates of hell. For their vicious clanging and the death that Satan has perpetrated upon the world, I've got my controversy, and I know you got yours. And one of the greatest controversies of all is that he's the one who made it, so we don't give him the glory. That's Christ the glory and the honor and the love and the wonder that we should do because he has stepped in. But we're going to get back at him. And the Bible says that day we're going to look narrowly upon him and say, well, this wasn't the one that made the world to tremble. Yes, that's the dirty dog, the low-down little skunk, slimy little jerk, rotten pinhead, because that's all he is, bluff. But he's milked it to the last inch. He's taken everything that was good from God and destroyed it by mutilating it and perverting it. But we see Jesus. Oh, yeah. We're waiting for that day. It is Romans 8. In this hour, now listen, here's your judge. 33-44. Who dares lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who dares arraign me in God's court? That's judge. It is God that justifies, said I'm righteous. Now a judge has got to say that. Yep. That's 1 Corinthians 1:7-8. Brother Branham spoke the judge's words when he said, little bride, you didn't do it at all. And pronounce the sentence is going to fall back on him. Satan, who is the one that caused it all. It is God said, who dares condemn me to death? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather risen again. Who is the right hand of God who makes intercession? Now here's this judge. His brother Branham said, he's the attorney, he's the judge, he's the jury. It's a stacked case. But it's a court just the same. This brings on 5:30-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? All right. Now listen, these are conditions that come up and would say the judge gave a wrong decision. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, sickness, God knows what. Kill the sheep for the slaughter all the day long. That'd make a man want to say, well, hey, what kind of a judge is that? What kind of a God is that? No, he said, look, we're more than conquerors. Through him that loved us, I am persuaded that there's nothing in death, there's nothing in life, there's no messengers, there's no principalities, there's no powers, there's nothing present, nothing come, there's no height, there's no depth, there's nothing created can separate us from the love that says, no way will I charge these with a sin. Now that's the judge of all the earth speaking. Why? Because he's judging from his own word. Amen. How can the word say something and a judge say different like your corrupt, rotten, stinking, immoral judges in America? Yeah. Abuse the First Amendment day and night and care nothing. You think for 1 minute Brother Branham was sarcastic running off the mouth some little two-bit jerk that trusted with the power of God when that policeman hauled him in because he crossed the state line speeding a bit? And he said, one of these days, and he could have been talking to himself or you and me, stand before a judge and say, just a minute, judge, before you pass sentence on me, who was that woman you wrote last night? I'll tell you her name. No bastard can judge the legitimate. Our judges are illegitimate to law. They are bastards to the law. Our God is truth and legitimate. And his word is law, and he judges by his word. And his word said, they shall never perish, they'll never perish. They shall not come into condemnation, they shall never be judged. But they shall be rewarded. The saints to get their rewards. Marvelous grace of Almighty God. Oh yeah. We close with the words of the judge himself. Over here in the book of Revelation chapter 1. Let's go back where the judge is. Let's pin it down and find out if I'm telling you the truth or some bedtime story. Verse 17 and 18. After he saw the judge, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, the hand of authority. the right arm of God, the Word made flesh, saying, "Hear us!" I'm the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Stand up. Be afraid, what are you afraid of? Brother Brand said, I saw his face. He could have destroyed 1,000 worlds. But he said, such compassion. Yeah, standing in the church, the light of the world, the light of the church. One day those eyes will blaze. Sure, they'll be the judge. But not into condemnation. That one there that John saw is the one who said, I am the resurrection life. He is the good shepherd. And he is calling his sheep by name at this very hour. And the scripture said, that same word says to us by the same one who is now judge, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And there are those that followed him into the death, into the grave, and they'll hear the voice of that Son of God and come forth. And there are sheep today who are walking, and they hear his voice, and they shall not die. But they'll walk into everlasting life and immortality. There you are, brother, sister. The judge and the bride. What have I to fear? What have I to dread? Nothing at all. What have I needing beside you? Nothing at all. Is there anything missing? No, there's nothing missing. Is there anything made up? No, there's nothing made up. The same one that's here that brought the word. That's what Brother Branham said. The same one that brought the word to Paul is the same one here revealing the word. And let's be honest, and the same one here is fulfilling the word. And as Brother Branham said during the seals, almost fainting away, why, he said, it's been Jesus Christ all the time. And so it has been that great God working in mercy and love and honor. Oh, sure, brother, sister, there's no fear. Not even a judge. That word judge strikes terror in everybody's heart because we know we have all failed. But I want to tell you something. It was Sinai that projected death, but it was Calvary and a resurrection that projected life. And that same one stands as I was dead. No animal could say that. And I'm alive. The animal says, I'm dead and I stay dead. But this one came in an animal form, so to speak, your form and mine. And he said, I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. And because I live, you shall live also. John was in the spirit. The old song says, on the Lord's day, he heard a voice behind him saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Behold, I live forevermore. And that's exactly right. Behold, I live. Behold, I live. Behold, I live forevermore. And I'm going to tell you, when you and I get in the spirit, we'll hear that same voice as John, which is a conversational voice. When men begin to talk the great word of God in this hour, and hear the great word of God, and I tell you, believe me, it is conversational. I can get up here at times, and you know I get sort of carried away, and I can rip and snort, it doesn't hurt anybody, because you know what I'm talking about. I'm not hitting anybody here. Don't get that idea. I'm laying down flat. Because tapes will go, don't worry, they'll be going out. And I don't care who hears them. They hear them at their own risk, because I don't send them out. Yeah, they say splitting churches. Why? How can Jesus split a church? I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. It may be coming out of the coming out for a long time. Mm-hmm. Maybe the wise are beginning to go in. You say, do you believe you're wise? Absolutely. Amen. Well, you're going to stand up here and be some kind of a jerk and deny my Savior who turned me around, who took my complexes, who took away hell, the measure of what Satan gave me, in order to establish me upon a rock and give me the joy of the Lord? Well, come on. I'm not looking at myself. I'm looking at him. If you want to look at me, you have a ball. You'll die in your sins. Look to him. Look to Jesus now and live. Oh, brother, live, the song says. Look to Jesus now and live. It's the record. Absolutely the record written. Hallelujah. Look to Jesus now and live. You can't live any other way. Until he taps you by the shoulder and says, hey, don't be afraid. The prophet said, I'm not afraid anymore. Yeah, I tapped him on the shoulder.
Praise the Lord.
You say, well, that's for a prophet, is it? Don't be ridiculous. Moses ain't the same man of the people ain't. I don't care if William Branham brought the word. I'm happy he did. I say, Brother Branham, God bless you. I'm going to eat it. I'm like my sister. I say, I don't care who owns it as long as I can use it. I don't know who brought it. William Branham didn't bring it. God brought it. But God used it. And God uses us. Or his body. You say, I think he ought to have done better. I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad he takes the beggars off the dunghill to make him princes. If you're already a prince, he just throws you on the dunghill. Bye-bye, Charlie. No Charlie's here. I got you right there. Charlie comes in, I got to change my words. Like the other night I said, I'd laugh at the other morning. I was just kidding about, you know, the whiskers under the nose. I wasn't saying shave it off. So you got to shave your whiskers off. I made a little funny remark or something about liking it to it. And then you got to know what's behind my thinking. Before, don't shave your mustache or anything until you say, Brother Bill, what did you mean? Because things like that aren't important to me. I could tell you why, but it won't bother. You know, just little funny things. But the Lord bless you. I trust you begin to see, look, behold, the judge standeth at the door. At the very time of the former and latter ring, he standeth at the door. See, don't be worried. Don't need to hold grudges. You Brother Bill, you hold some grudges. Sort of. I'm not perfect. It's a perfect jackass. Only perfection I got is in the realm of the complete far out gunk. I don't claim anything other than him. I tell you what, I learned one thing. If he doesn't do it, it ain't going to be done. Amen. I'm tired of looking at me to do it because it ain't going to be done anyway. How are you going to climb to heaven? Well, you can't add a cube to your stature. You can't take really one wrinkle off your face and make a stick. We'll come back. Okay, what you do? He's going to go to the ground unless God doesn't. Except the Lord build the house of labor in Danville. Except the Lord watch the city, watch and watch them in vain. No. You might as well learn. The younger you can learn, the better. You're all younger than me. You might as well start learning now. Don't wait till you're 56 years of age to find these goodies up. Find them now. Why, sooner find them out at 68 than never at all. Certainly, I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you. All these years down the road, I'm telling you, it's been worthwhile. Oh, yeah. One of these, I'm going to just jump on the gate to hell swing, that's all.
Praise God.
Pour the oil on. Watch them. Hey, that's the way to do it. Pour the oil of God and watch him stop speaking. Listen. Heavenly Father, we're grateful again, as we say, for your kindness, your mercy, your love, all these things that you've given us, Lord. Time of fellowship together to see you here. You stand here just like you stood in Abraham's day, and you weren't fully revealed as that judge until the fire came. But Abraham stood there and said, will not the judge of all the earth do right? And you sure did do right. You took care of wise and foolish virgin. You took care of everybody, Lord, and you're taking care of everybody right now. We believe, oh God, in mercy and grace that just absolutely, it's in your hands. And what he that hath begun a good work will perform the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know you're here to do it, Lord. Absolutely, we know that. And we're so happy to just see this message more and more a part of us, oh God, and in spite of this. Because, Lord, your faith and your belief is paramount to ours, and we are no match for thee in thy grace. Into thy hands we commend ourselves, blessed Savior. O Savior Shepherd, lead us. Be our protection, be our head, be our everything. We give up, Lord, we give up. Give up to you, and it's good. We love you, we bless your name, we marvel at your grace, we marvel at your goodness. Oh God, mighty God, wonderful, wonderful God, we praise thee through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, be with us all. We know that we go different directions. Some of us go down to Beaumont and go here and there. Some on the road, Lord, doing this and that. But we pray, Lord, be with every one of us. And may the richness of grace of God be here and be there. And may good be constantly done, O Lord, as we know it shall be. Oh, blessed be your holy name. How can we even speak to you, Lord? There's such a depth running within our soul to magnify thy great name until choking screams could hardly do it, Lord. Deep calling unto deep. Lord, there's only one thing we know that can be the answer. You've got to change us.